This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
Good morning, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Shazana Mukhtar. Brazilian aerospace manufacturer Embraer is a minnow in contrast to market giants like Boeing and Airbus, especially here in the Asia-Pacific. However, the plane maker has bold ambitions to grow its presence in the region, targeting over 3,000 aircraft deliveries here in the next 20 years. Joining me today to discuss their growth strategy is Raul Villaron, Vice President of Embraer Asia Pacific. Raul, welcome to The Breakfast Grill.
Thanks, Chazana. Thanks for your audience.
Now, many Malaysians may be surprised to learn that the world's third biggest aircraft manufacturer is actually from Brazil. This company was set up all the way back in 1969. What accounts for Embraer's longevity? Is this down to active government policy to support the growth of aviation technology as a driver of the economy?
Yes, in the beginning, it was the reason we started, right, with the support of the government. But then in 1994, we became a private company. And then that's when Embraer really took off and grew its presence worldwide. And I would say the special sauce of Embraer is the engineering capability. Embraer is, as you said, the third largest aircraft manufacturer in the world. We have four business units. We have the airline business, right? We have the executive jets. We have defense and security. And then we have a services unit, which supports all those three other business. And we more recently, we also started investing heavily in innovation. And we spin off eVTOL company, partially owned by Embraer, called Eve.
Looking at where Embraer sits in this bigger aviation industry, it's dominated by Boeing and Airbus. What gap does Embraer fill in commercial aviation manufacturing?
Yeah, that's a good question. And maybe I will detail a little bit more my answer about Embraer special sauce being engineering. Right. Under those four business units, we have one only integrated engineering. And over the last 21 years, we actually designed, developed and certified 21 different aircraft types. That's more than Boeing, more than Airbus. And when you have an integrated engineering, you actually learn from one project to the other. So a good example is the fly-by-wire system that we have today on the E-Jets. E2 is actually the fourth generation fly-by-wire that Embraer has. So having this integrated engineering give us the edge to innovate and be faster. The E2 was the fastest new development any OEM has done over the last 50 years. We did it in 5 years under the budget, you know, and with a very strong maturity from day one. On top of that, the commercial aviation has its own niche proposition, right? We really design an aircraft that is meant to fly regional. We are the leaders in regional flying up to 150 seats. Embraer has more than 80 airlines in 50 countries, some like Delta, American Airlines, Air France, KLM, Lufthansa. Here in Asia, Qantas, Japan Airlines. So it's a very robust product flying all over the world. And it's mainly used to feed hubs and add connectivity to the airline, complementing the operation of A320s and 737s. Mm. So when you see this imbalance of size of company, right? Boeing and Airbus being such a big company competing with Embraer, we actually see them as a complement to our products, not as a competition. We designed the aircraft to be the lightest and to be the one that can have more cycles. When you have a domestic operation and you have an aircraft that's too heavy because it flies as long as 8-10 hours, you burn a lot more fuel than you should. So that's the niche that Embraer has. So we really design an aircraft that does the mission, 1, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours mission, not more than that. And then it's efficient, like 30% lower fuel burn, 20% lower maintenance costs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the airlines have selected Embraer to complement the Boeing and Airbus fleet.
It's interesting that you say the E2 series is meant as a complement to the more familiar A320s or the 737s that are prevalent here in Asia. We will get into, I suppose, the specifics of how you see Embraer growing in the Asia market. But I want to take a big picture view in terms of the COVID-19 pandemic, because the outbreak in 2020 was particularly torrid for Embraer. That year saw the $4.2 billion deal with Boeing fall through. Your annual revenue fell 31% on year, and Embraer's stock price also tanked by over 56%. But that makes the comeback over the past year even more impressive. You've reported an 11% increase in 2021 revenue. Your share price has now more than doubled to date. So how would you explain this reversal in fortunes?
Yeah, the pandemic had an impact on all aviation companies, right? But the impact on Embraer was slightly different. Because we are focused on this regional niche market. And when the pandemic hit, we actually had some postponements of deliveries. But comparing to Boeing and Airbus, we didn't have any cancellations. And that's because customers knew the recovery would start from domestic and regional flying, uncertainty in terms of demand and number of frequencies. So using an aircraft that has lower trip cost would allow them to recover fast. And we saw that with many airlines that have dual fleets with Boeing and Airbus and Embraer.
Mm-hmm. So
2021 was a good year for Embraer. We adapted ourselves to the new revenue size of the company. We have today $2.5 billion cash at the end of 2021. We generated free cash flow of $300 million. We are very confident on our debt, which is mostly long-term debt. And Embraer last year grew its order book by 18% to $17 billion, mainly because of strong demand for regional flying. And I think that is what's putting us in a different position for Asia, right? For many years, Embraer was very successful in Europe, in the US, with all the major airlines. And in Asia, it was slower for Embraer to penetrate, right? And this is mainly because in Asia, the low-cost flying was very strong with very large aircraft, lots of growth, lots of opportunities for airlines to grow to still big markets. But when the pandemic hit, then there is the uncertainty around demand, around structural changes to how passengers will fly, and also the doubts of airlines having a single fleet, right? It was always the mantra of low-cost carriers to have a single fleet, A320 or 737-800. But now with all those uncertainties we have around the world, having a single fleet type is very risky for many reasons. You could have that type grounded, as we saw the MAX happening with the MAX. You could have the pandemic, and then your aircraft's too big to restart operation. So we believe that the pandemic will actually make airlines think about being more flexible with a multi-fleet strategy, whereby they combine smaller aircraft with bigger one. And on top of that, Embraer also launched the E2. It was in 2018, the entry into service of the 190 E2. And it has a major difference comparing to the E1s.
Mm.
While Boeing and Airbus did only a re-engine of their airplane, we actually built a new wing, a new landing gear, new fly-by-wire system. So the efficiency difference and gap that we had in terms of seat cost with Boeing and Airbus, we have eliminated, while we kept the advantage of trip costs. So today we have the 195 E2 that has 30% lower trip costs than an A320 or 737, with only 1% higher seat costs because it's a smaller aircraft. When you combine that with the uncertainties around demand, we see a great potential for Asia to address exactly that part of the market.
Okay, so it seems like the pandemic has just made the E2 a more attractive proposition than it had before. And already, even when it was first introduced back in 2018, 2019, you had already dubbed it as the profit hunter. I suppose the pandemic came as a kind of silver lining for Embraer, perhaps?
Yeah, we cannot celebrate this type of events, right? I think it's terrible what happened, and it also has major impacts on the position of airlines, right? So if they don't have money to buy any aircraft, how can you continue growing? So there is the downside of the pandemic, but we like to look at the bright side of the impact that it has, right? So I think we are well positioned with the 195 E2, especially here in Asia Pacific. And it will allow airlines to be more flexible and address the uncertainties of the market.
I'm speaking to Raul Villaron, Asia Pacific Vice President of the Brazilian aircraft manufacturer Embraer. When we come back, we'll discuss Embraer's expansion in APAC and Southeast Asia. Will airlines here embrace Embraer? Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
Thanks for staying tuned to the Breakfast Grill. I'm Shazana Mokhtar, and with me on the show today is Raul Villaron, Asia Pacific Vice President of the Brazilian aircraft manufacturer Embraer. So you mentioned a couple of things in the conversation, Raul. You recognize the fact that airlines tend to be cash strapped, especially after the pandemic. How much appetite is there, do you see, to make large investments into new aircraft at this time, especially new aircraft that would require different technology, different logistics requirements? We do know that Airbus and Boeing are the dominant aircraft manufacturers here in Asia Pacific. I just feel like you have an uphill battle to make headway into a region that's really dominated by these two players.
Yeah, I think it's important to understand the structural changes that the pandemic brought to the aviation world, right? Today, we are doing an interview over Zoom, and the development of video conferencing has major impact, especially on business travel, right? I'm not saying it's going to replace everything. It's still important to be face-to-face, especially in sales. But I would say in training, in interviews, in internal meetings, you can always replace by video conferencing. So this has a major impact on demand of a business traveler, which is one of the backbones of any airline in the world. And then you also have all the restrictions imposed by the pandemic, which are now dropping, but still there is costs related to PCR tests. So an airline in the past, a low-cost carrier here, which used to sell a ticket for $50, if you have to buy a PCR test for $100, how often are you going to travel comparing to before, right? Mm-hmm. So there are lots of things that need to change, and that's not going to change in the short term. And if airlines that are cash-strapped today don't adapt to the new demand profile, they will burn even more cash. And what we see is that there is a lot of cash available, right, in the financing community. But the financing community is a lot more concerned, and they are scrutinizing the business a lot more, which will make the airlines think about their fleet decisions and prove that it's a strong business case. We even see in Malaysia before the pandemic, airlines were flying with 70% load factor, right? Why do you waste 80 seats on your aircraft if you could have a smaller aircraft and fly those 100 passengers with 120 seats? Does it make sense to keep flying 108 seats on markets that you only have 50, 80 passengers a day? I don't think so. So that will put a question mark on the airlines, and they will have to pay more attention to capacity and demand balance.
Okay, so you're making a cost argument that you think airlines in Malaysia and this region especially should consider. But we can't ignore the fact that Boeing and Airbus do offer large discounts and incentives in order to lock them into a particular model over the long term. Yeah, so you're looking to break into these very long established contracts. Is Embraer also ready to provide these significant discounts and incentives to make yourself more attractive? And I guess my question is, are you prepared for that hit on your margins in the interim to build that market share?
Yeah, we see that as an investment. As I said, Asia is strategically a region that we want to grow from our strategic plan. And we have decided to make investments, right? And this means when we are talking to airlines about deals, we are offering other incentives, as you said, right? Especially in countries where we see there is potential, it's well positioned geographically and has knowledge in aviation. So Malaysia is one of the main ones.
Are you looking at leasing arrangements as an alternative option for cash-strapped airlines?
Yeah, Embraer has a very strong lessor base. I would say 40% of the Embraer fleet worldwide is owned by lessors. It's an option, right? Embraer also has the support of the Brazilian Development Bank to finance aircraft under the aircraft sector understanding rules, which is quite favorable for airlines as well. And we also have commercial bank partners to finance PDP if needed or to support airlines with a junior loan or even 100% financing. So we have several ways to support cash-strapped airlines to go through the crisis. And Embraer will be willing to look at different solutions that is better adequate for each one of the customers.
So you're coming armed. You have a lot of options on the table. You're looking into a lot of different partnerships. I'm wondering, who is your target customer in this region when it comes to airlines? You know, is it the smaller, more nascent airlines over the established players?
I think the natural target are the E1 operators, right? Because operators of E1s have the opportunity to save up to 25% on fuel burn by moving to E2s. So that's a very interesting advantage. But of course, we in Asia, we see lots of new customers as potential because, for example, there are lots of airports in Asia that cannot be flown by Airbus or Boeing simply because of the weight of the aircraft. The pavement strength on those airports do not sustain an operation of A320 or Boeing. And that's where, for example, Embraer is having lots of success in Vietnam with Bamboo Airlines being the first one to operate the E-jets, but also the other airlines looking for the same to operate out of Condal and Kamau, which are airports, important airports that cannot be operated by heavier aircraft. And in, I think in Malaysia, there is another element that we are watching closely, which is the Subang airport discussions. Today, Subang is restricted to turboprops. And we believe it would be beneficial to the country and to even to the airlines to have it opened for smaller jets, like you see in London City, for example, or other local airports in different cities where it's very segmented for business. It's better for the customer, right? Every time you focus on the customer needs, you can be sure that you're doing the right thing, right? We are supporters of opening up Subang for smaller jets. And if that happens, we have the best solution to support the airlines flying out of Subang. We see a mix of opportunities to replace 737s and A320s to adapt to the demand and to fly out of Subang.
Okay, so that is a key potential area that you're keeping track on. No progress has been made on that part for a while, but that's something to watch. I'm wondering if you're talking to some of the newer airlines that have come up in the country recently. I think just this January, there were two new airlines that received approval, SKS Airways and My Airline. Are you in talks with them? I mean, would they be like an ideal customer for you here in Malaysia?
We talk to every airline in Asia, right? We are aware of them. We have a sales director responsible for Malaysia who is based here in Singapore, so he goes quite frequently there. We see a potential to work with them. It's they have the advantage of being new, right? While the other airlines are cash-strapped, they are fresh. But I still see a lot of potential with the established airlines like Malaysia Airlines, Firefly, AirAsia. I see a lot of potential with them as well.
Mm. I do want to address what's happening in the larger geopolitical sense with the Ukraine war. I'm wondering, does Embraer foresee any effects on its production line as a result of supply chain issues at present?
Yeah, that's a good question. And first of all, I think it's a very sad moment for the world, and our thoughts are with all the families that are suffering with that. Embraer is following strictly the sanctions, so we suspended all services, parts, and support to airlines we have in the region. Our exposure is not that big. We had about 30 aircraft between Russia and Ukraine.
Mm.
And we also hear a lot of comment in the media about supply chain and so on. But Embraer is comfortable in its position. We have good stocks and we have good contracts for the main items like titanium that are under pressure. So we don't see major disruption on our production. But I think the war and the pandemic, they both together brought more changes to the scenario, right? You said inflation, you said the disruption in the logistics, and that makes countries think about their relationships and also companies think about their supply chain positionings. So we see a lot of big companies already moving supply chains closer to their headquarters, which favors, again, regional flying, right? So if a company in the U.S. used to have a production in China or Vietnam, now moving it to Mexico will generate more regional flights and less international flights. So we are also trying to look at the positive, if we can, right, during this sad moment for the world.
So trying to take the good as well as the bad. Over the next 20 years, Embraer is projecting that its Asian market will comprise 25% of total jet deliveries. So you're looking to sell 2,000 aircraft in this region by 2040. I guess, where do you see the biggest potential for sales, both within existing markets, and where do you see your newer customers coming from?
Well, we have a strong base in China, right? So China is a big market. Japan and Australia are the largest regional markets today in Asia Pacific because they are already established. So it's natural that we will see lots of demand there. In Australia, for example, we believe there is a space for 200 or 300 aircraft over the next 5 years. In Japan, maybe 100 aircraft in the next 5 years as well. In Malaysia, which is an important market as well, we see a potential for 60 aircraft over the next 10 years. Southeast Asia as a whole, considering Vietnam, mainly because of those airports that are restricted, we see lots of potential. Thailand also has lower demand flights that need smaller aircraft. So I think those are the main markets. And then the last one, but not least, is India. So India is the fastest growing market, aviation market in the world, right? One of the fastest. And we see a huge potential for Embraer to penetrate there, especially to support the subsidies scheme, the Udan scheme that the government has put in place to connect India secondary, tertiary cities.
Howell, thank you very much for speaking with me. Lots to look forward to with Embraer, and we look forward to catching up with you in a year or two to see how progress has been going in Asia Pacific.
Thank you very much, and have a good day.
I've been speaking to Howell Villaron, Vice President of Embraer Asia Pacific. This has been The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.